You're listening to the Going Offsides podcast, your home for lacrosse news, stories, and everything in between.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Going Offsides podcast. This week, we welcome our new co-host slash independent host, Christina Esposito, as she embarks on her first ever podcast as a host. And she has Juliet Barnes, athletic trainer extraordinaire, on the podcast. And they talk everything from taking care of your body to lacrosse injuries to taking care of yourself mentally. It's a really great episode. I'm really excited for you all to hear it. So without further ado, let's just jump right in.
I definitely want to start by just like, you know, kind of like your bio. Just let me know, let everyone know a little bit like where you've been, what you've done. Why you're such a goat.
Yeah. Did you get the one I sent you? Are you going to read it or am I going to say it?
No, you could, you know, just, you know, start talking about your background.
Yeah. But okay.
I got it.
Okay. And so I've been in a lot of training rooms. I, you know, been doing this since 2000. I started my career off at Athletico and I did an internship and then graduated. And that summer they offered me a position. So 2000 started, you know, working as an athletic trainer for the clinic. Then started going to the clinic and then high schools. In 2003, I started with USA Soccer youth teams, got called up to the full team in 2004. So I've been traveling with them. And then I did some Chicago Sky WNBA stuff for two seasons, their first year for the Chicago team. And then, you know, I was like applying to law school, was waitlisted, went to part-time and then didn't get in. And so that's when the position at Northwestern opened up.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
University.
And so that was in 2009. So 2009 started my career at Northwestern University.
2017.
Yeah, 18. Yeah, 9 years.
Oh, right. Yep. I made you stay for me.
Yeah, exactly. Because then what year did you get there? You got there in
2012.
Oh, yeah. So I had already been there a couple of years before you then came. And then freshman year, tore ACL off the bat.
Yep.
You were part of the trifecta with the other two girls. We don't have to name them, but yeah, that was just crazy freshman year. And then, then the journey began for Espo's healing journey.
Yeah. I just wanted to chill with you on the sidelines.
Yeah. But it was always work hard.
I know. The only way I even got through like those years too is because of like the lighthearted environment and stuff that like
right.
we always had, you know, it was always business on the field, but during a workout, you know, it was always business. You knew how to like set the tone, but also separate it at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I for sure.
Loved that. Like that made my life.
Yeah. And that was the most important thing. Like, you know, any injury is definitely challenging and it's a trial, and then when you're a freshman in college, it's new, everything's new environment, and then when you get injured, to be separated away from the team, trying to navigate that, you know, mentally and physically is tough. So trying to make rehab fun for the athletes was huge.
Yeah, and I mean, like, tough is such an understatement, even for, you know, you've actually gone through it. What did you have again? Two ACLs?
Yes. You also, I had right after high school, I was going to go play college volleyball, but right. then I ended up having meniscus surgery in both knees. And so then after that, I decided not to play college volleyball. And so I ended up, while I was in college, I ended up tearing my ACL playing intramural basketball. And then that was just, you know, my first time really having to do rehab, because for the knees, the meniscus stuff, I didn't have to really do rehab for that. But then for the ACL, that was a challenge. I remember crying in physical therapy when they were trying to do my range of motion. And I said, never again. I was like, never again. I went home and made myself cry because I was like, I cannot.
All I remember is go to your happy place, Espo, go to your happy place.
I still say that to my patients. He's a dog. I'm like, find your happy place. They're like, a gin and tonic. I was like, whatever.
Yeah. <Find it." laughs> I was like, Jules, why is my happy place always just like cake? Like, that's the first thing I think in my mind. Always cake.
What kind of cake? Portillo's chocolate cake? Where was
it? Yes, chocolate.
Chocolate.
Matilda.
You never said where your happy place was, so that's funny.
I know. Every time I always thought about chocolate cake. But yeah, I honestly love having you, as you're my first ever podcast guest.
So yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Snaps.
Honor is all.
Yeah, mine. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to send this to some of my girls and whatnot too. And I just want them to hear, especially from the athletic trainer side of things. And
yeah, for sure.
In such a huge competitive environment. And like you said, on top of that, when you get injured, it feels like the absolute world is crumbling down.
For sure.
Every single day, every single minute. So do you have a secret tip or advice of what's the best thing that a college athlete and even a high school athlete could do to take care of their body on a daily basis?
Well, definitely. I mean, it starts with sleep. Recovery is sleep is one of the best recovery things that you can do for your body.
Underrated.
And then as far as fueling and what you're doing, I know in college, pulling all-nighters, is what people like to do. But, the sleep, especially when you have an early morning practice, it's not ideal. So even taking naps in college is good, because then you can get that regeneration, with a quick nap. Yeah. So even naps are okay, but you don't want to try to depend on a nap to get you
messing up
a practice.
Right. Messing up your sleep schedule is probably one of the worst things you could probably do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then fueling is the, next best thing. Making sure whatever you're doing before practice, fueling wise, to eat, and then post practice with recovery shakes, chocolate milk, tart cherry juice, whatever it is to help you then get to that optimal level of muscle regeneration.
Yeah. And that's I try to tell my girls now from the scientific point of view, we're not just telling you, because when you're in it, you're like, I don't want this chocolate shake. I just ran a game. I don't want this cherry.
Yeah.
You don't realize the scientific evidence behind it, of it actually repairing your muscles, make all the difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And then with the repair comes the decrease in injuries. So if you're repairing your muscles, you don't get those hamstring strains or those hamstring pulls and things like that. And, cold tubbing and foam rolling. And that's also part of the recovery aspect, before and after. I like to do, activation exercises to get the glutes fired up. So, how the training room's packed before and everyone's geez, everyone's injured. And I'm like, no, half of them are just here activating their muscles so they don't get injured, you know? So that's another thing that is really important. Just, knowing your body and knowing where you need to strengthen and what you need to focus on is also.
Huge. And that's that elite level too. I think it's actually, it surprised me how many girls being the director of Jesters, and we have 400 grade all the way down to kindergarten.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the high school girls, they don't even know what a foam roller is.
Yeah. I mean,
Understand.
Right. When I first started with the WNBA, it was crazy. A lot of them didn't know, and that was college. That was post-college. So it was just, it's different for everywhere. So that's the huge part for us athletic trainers. It's a lot of what we do is education too. You have to take every athlete as if they don't really know, especially when they're injured. A lot of it's just education, because they aren't aware of what's going on. It's all brand new. So you have to be patient, as the athletic trainer, just kind of patient with each individual.
I would even say the athlete, totally be patient with yourself too.
I started out eating
pizzas before my game and, coming into the training room with bag of chips.
Yes, exactly.
I went from that to my senior year, eating a fruit cup in between practice, because I was with carbs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. You got to know what works. I mean, obviously that education piece is huge, to know that you cannot fuel yourself with a bag of chips to get you through the entire practice. And that's what would happen. We would have people, especially when you shift from, we have the afternoon, in the fall, we have the morning practices. And so a lot of people are I don't like to eat breakfast, and they wouldn't eat anything. And it's what
all
you
my
need
girls
to
do
fuel.
That.
Yeah. And then they switch to the afternoon practice. And then you just, your whole body is now how do we fuel? So it's, you also have to go into phases of depending on when you're working out and what you're doing in the competition season. And, again, all about the plates, the making sure your plate has every food group and what it, and depending on, is it a recovery plate? Is it a, you know, pre-game meal sort of thing.
Yeah. And all that's of like, that. I even with the breakfast thing, it kills me. I'll ask my girls all the time, like, who had breakfast? Like two people,
right?
And then it's that same excuse. Oh, right. I don't want to. It makes my stomach feel weird. But like, you have to just find what works for you, and you need something, because you got to go back to, like you said, the education piece, understand what it's doing for your body. It's not just
right.
You don't feel like it.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. And you're fueling to last the entire practice.
Right. Exactly. Like, you might feel okay in the first 30 minutes, but
right.
How cloudy are you in the last 30?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right. So true. And that's kind of like, you know, going into even my next point, that's all the physical. Like, we could talk about this for hours.
Right. For sure.
But, you know, even the mental side of things, like, that's kind of where you help just create that environment of like, you know, you're allowed to be intense, but you're also allowed to have fun at the same time.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because your mental health at the end of the day, that can affect how you feel, think, act. And then again, yes, your physical health, but, you know, mental health can affect how you handle stress and decision-making. So if your headspace is all over the place and you're on the field, you can make a quick decision, you know, that's the game right there. You know, and then same thing with just stress. How are you going to handle when it's like a big tournament weekend? You might be good for game one, but then the rest of the weekend, you're, you know, you have nothing stamina mentally, you know, mental stamina to get you through the rest of the weekend. That's when you see those teams in the final, you know, completely choke, and they just didn't have the mental strength.
Right. Exactly.
Sometimes,
and,
you know,
people, outsiders don't even realize how much of, if not like, I always, you know, argue to say it's almost like a 70-30, like mental, physical, maybe 60-40.
Yeah, yeah.
But even if it's 50-50, like, we never focus on that mental side. And, you know, it's hard because girls are like, well, I don't like know what to do. But the mental side of things can just be like having someone there for support to talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
Writing, having a journal and writing something down.
Right.
Once
exactly.
It doesn't have to be every day, but.
No, right. Exactly. Like an outlet. I mean, and it's good to have, you know, sometimes it's good to have the individual time alone to meditate or, you know, be in your own space, but then having that team bonding, that team, you know, mental side where you're all kind of doing something together, team building wise, definitely helps the mental, like how we did the pumpkin carving, you know, stuff like that, just to help build team off the field. You know, it was also huge just for the mental aspect.
Yeah. And I always tell my girls too, or even any clinics I go to, I love to end with just telling the girls, like, you know, have, like, don't be afraid to tell someone how you feel, but it's okay to start with, hey, I just need to vent. Because I think a lot of girls say how they feel to their parents or their friends because they don't want someone to tell them what to do. They just want to get it off their chest.
Yeah. Right. Or just they're afraid to be judged, you know. It's not about that. It's about just kind of letting it out and to a safe space at the end of the day. And that's how the coaches come into place, by creating a safe space culture amongst the players and everyone within that team, just so then everyone knows that there's no judgment and you can be open to talk about what you want to talk about.
Yeah, that the culture and the environment. I love Positive Coaching Alliance. They define culture.
Yeah. Okay.
What we do here.
Right.
So simple. And it's like true. If everyone is like, oh, this sucks, or oh, blah,
right.
That's the atmosphere. Yep. That's going to how it's going to show on a field.
Yeah. And there's always going to be those one or two outliers, but then that's where, you know, the leaders on the team need to come together and whatever it's going to take to kind of uplift those people, because you know how that negativity can be a cancer amongst the teams and start amongst the team and start to spread.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a big part of it.
I think the biggest thing, you know, like as we're talking to even like point out, is that it's such a flow. Like, it starts with that physical to the mental, and then, you know, that's the individual piece. And then however you carry that, that totally affects the team. And then that your environment. And that's if you're winning or losing right there.
Right. Yeah. Especially if you're losing, you know, because you really have to be there to kind of keep that positive energy. It's going to be a long season.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I got rapid fire questions for you. So I want to know, you're on the hot seat.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Sizzle. Right.
I want to know, what was the most interesting or craziest experience you had in the U.S. soccer environment?
the most crazy experience? Well, I did have a chance. I don't know if this is, I did have a chance with the U19s back in 2004 or five. We went to Thailand for the World Cup. And so I stayed there for almost a month and a half, almost 2 months with the team training and playing. And we lost in the final, which was just horrible. But the experience leading up to that was just amazing because we were in Thailand for so long. We got to experience the culture and just play some local teams and things like that. And that was one of the most, still to this day, one of the most exciting experiences. Yeah.
What would you say is, you know, being in that like extremely, that's like the highest level at that age for the most part in that sport, what would you say is like the biggest difference, either like individual trait wise or team wise? Like, is it the level of determination? Like, what did they have?
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, to be able to come together and have the cohesiveness that they had when they don't play, like they're not playing every day together. We're going at a camp for like 4 days, then they don't see each other for like another month, and they don't see each other after that for like another month, and then we're playing in a World Cup. So it's really just about commitment and everyone there for one goal, and that's to win and be their best, you know, on any given day, and really just determination. You know, and again, going back to that whole, it's a team, it's, there's no individuals, it's, you don't have the space to just have an ego and try to, you know, be alone on the field. They know that there's, you know, 11 other girls out there who've got their backs, and it's just about trusting them and knowing that you're going to show up on that day to perform.
Yeah. And sometimes I even feel it too. Like sometimes, you know, ego can definitely get in the way of your own performance, and obviously it affects your team. But once you strip that back, all that is just like hard work and hustle.
Yeah. And it's hard because you have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to do it. But that's where you, again, creating that safe space. And that comes again from the coaches down. That's going to be real important.
Yeah. Okay. So what are two things an athlete can do daily that will help them either physically or mentally kind of take them to the next level? Like, if, you know, we're explaining that elite type of environment and what it looks like, what are the two things that you think?
I think it ends up coming down to having a routine and making sure that you're consistent enough with the routine of whether, you know, the first thing in the morning, like you said, you wake up, you're journaling. So you're, you know, getting your mind right for the day. And then, you know, you have your day and whatever that is at the end of the day, making sure you're doing recovery, whether it's foam rolling, stretching, whatever, at the end of the day, after a workout, what have you. And that, you know, and I feel like those two things, the routine and the having the recovery to get you ready for the next day, regenerated, so the sleep is going to be so important.
So, so important.
Yeah.
So underrated at the younger levels and so important. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that when I was in high school, but you definitely, like, that's one thing is that, you know, you didn't just like tell us what to do. You made us understand like what you're going to do after college and so forth and so forth.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Last thing I want to hear from you. I want your
opinion. Oh, sure.
Obviously not every day is going to be the best. I try and stay on routines. I try and stay consistent. 1 week I'm superwoman. 1 week I'm like, I can't do any of this. What's your advice for like when you're not feeling like it, but you want to be that still?
The main, be kind to yourself. Know that you are going to have those days. Don't feel like you have to do it all. Take those days, embrace them for what they are and let them pass, or else you're going to be resentful. You're going to carry it through to the next day, as opposed to just like letting that day happen, seeing, you know, what things, pitfalls maybe happen. So then you can prevent if, you know, them in the future or whatever, but just let yourself have that day. Like, don't feel like you always have to be on. Everyone has an off day. Everyone, and again, it comes down to being vulnerable. And with your girl, the girls that are seeing you, they're, you're a role model to them. They're looking up to that. So for them to be able to see you, it's not always roses, but you know, it's challenging to get to your level of what you sacrificed to get to where you are. Took a lot of sweat, tears, and hard work. And so it's not going to be just like, they need to understand it's not going to be great every day. And that is part of the challenge for like what makes someone great and able to sustain that, because it takes a lot. It is going to be a hard road. You know, you're not going to win every game.
Right.
You're not going to win every game. You may feel like you're the best at your club and you get to the college level and you're not starting until senior year. So what is your goal? Do you want to play or do you want to just be part of the team? You know, so you have to come into college understanding that you are signing up to be part of the team and get them to the championship, whatever your role may look like. Your role may be that cheerleader on the sideline, cheering the squad on, you know, going hard every day in practice, and then maybe getting your break when it's time. But that's the end game. It's not about you want to join this team because you want to win, which obviously is goal number one for sure. But you have to understand that everyone plays a role. And just like in society, you know, we not everyone can be a complete, you know, starter. Yeah. Number one. Yeah.
Yeah. So just and I mean, just, you totally like hit it right there. I think that as athletes, we think sometimes too, like, oh, the best athletes are on all the time. They never
right.
get bad. So, right. so not true. So not true. So no. As a coach, I try and be really vulnerable and transparent. And I'll even say like, I'm not having a good day, guys. We're all right. We're here. We're going to let it go. And we're going to get on to the next thing.
Exactly. And then that's the thing that's just like, yeah, they'll see that that's helpful for, you know, their success. And just to have that is very helpful.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say too about, just in general about sustaining your physical ability is making sure you're doing like Pilates and yoga and like diversifying your workout and not just overtraining in the one sport, you know, or the one activity.
Yes. So true. I even tell my girls, like we did it sometimes at my house at Northwestern with like the six of us girls there. Like sometimes when you leave the field, you got to take the cleats off, put the cleats away and don't even look at it for a day or two. You got
right, exactly. Yeah. And you got to disconnect and just enjoy. And that's going to be the biggest part about college athletics is being able to balance. And, you know, you're the first time you're kind of independent on your own and making those good decisions. But then again, stepping away and just having that downtime, because again, if you're always so, you know, on, then that sometimes can do harm.
Burnout. And
kind of burnout. Exactly. Jinx.
Can I get a burnout?
Burnout. So yeah, that can turn into burnout.
Yeah. So moral of the story, set yourself some goals, be kind to yourself, take care of your body.
And mental and physical.
Yeah. Like most of the times when you do all that baseline boring stuff, the rest kind of just works.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And then that's where, and you have the support group of your coaches, the athletic training, medical staff, sports psychologists, nutritionists. You have a team when you get to college.
Right. Exactly.
To help you. And then when you get to some of those elite levels, you also have a team. So don't feel like you have to do it again, all on your own, and your family support.
Right. And definitely lean on all those different avenues. You know, don't put all your balls into one basket, like definitely use all your different outlets. Cause sometimes you get some different perspective.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last question, actually,
I want to ask this,
really important, but so college injuries are happening all the time. I've had a million, you've had a million,
ACLs,
even if it's just like a toe sprain or the weird ones that we would come and show you, like my neck. Fungus in it at 3.
Right.
who knows what happened? So and so got bit by a spider at 3:00.
Right. Oh yeah. That's always great.
So my question, or for you, I think these girls need some help too. Of like, you know, how do you communicate to your athletic trainer and your coaches, but without sounding like a baby? Because I think that's the biggest stigma is like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm gonna suck it up. I'm fine, which could actually hurt you in long term.
Right. Exactly. And so that's what I was about to say, because for me, I always said, you know, no injury is too small, because that small injury you think might be small can turn into a big one. And now we're trying to backpedal. And now we're something that might have been kept you out a week. Now we're out like 6 weeks. So no, it's again, because especially when there's miscommunication, when miscommunication happens, where the athlete's telling the coaches one thing, then the athletic trainer's telling them something, the best at the end of the day is to meet as a group. I found, you know, having everyone on the same page, and what helps is having all of those people in the same room.
Right.
And, you know, we ended up, especially when it came to like sports performance, myself, the assistant coaches and the head coach, having weekly meetings to discuss what's going on and then pull the athlete in if there's any question. Because if there's a discrepancy, whether they're telling the coach something or then me something, then that's where things go wrong. And we ended up putting a athlete on the field maybe too soon or, you know, when they're not ready. And it's just kind of because they're trying to push it through. So yeah. I think, you know, pulling everyone into the room is never a bad thing.
Yeah. And just even as an athlete, don't be a hero. Like what seems like such a small time of your life. And like, you're in this little bubble, like when you pull yourself out and you always used to say that, like, think about it. There's so many more days. You have more years, you know, just don't try. And like you said, don't try and do it all at once. Like, be transparent, take care of your body, because me now being, you know, years later, there's so many times I think about like when I was sitting in that room and I remember people, the doctors being like, yeah, so if you play on it, it's, you're going to feel it like soon after. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm like, I don't care about how I feel later. I'll take care of it then. And now I'm like, okay, well now I can't go on a jog every day. And I would love to go on a jog.
And that could go in either direction, you know, and that's a whole nother conversation regarding life after college sports and what that looks like and just finding what works for you for an athlete. There were athletes who I thought they hardly played every day, you know, like I was only letting them play in games. And then their first year out, they're like, Jules, I'm running a marathon. I'm like, huh? A marathon? What?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? But I'm happy at the end of the day, like that's what makes me feel happy. Cause now you're in your real life, you know, not that college wasn't, but like now you're adult and you're able to have a quality of life and enjoy, you know, and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't be a superhero athlete. Take care of your body because it's the only one you get.
Yeah, for sure.
Simple facts.
Yes, for sure. Oh my God, Espo, thank you for letting me be your first podcast guest. This was so much fun.
Are you kidding? Thank you. I just wish that like we both could have had Joy Ease right now.
I had a drink earlier. So a smoothie fruit drink, not alcoholic beverage. It was a fruit drink. It was delish.
I was so jealous when I texted you that saying I want Joy Ease and you sent a picture back. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I was that's so funny you mentioned it. So it was my parents and my brother in the car and we all had Joy Ease. And I was like, yes, Bo.
Next time I'm in the area, I'm there.
Call me. I'll be here. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I just moved back from LA, so.
I know. You're just like doing your thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm just right now it's good. I'm in a good place. It's nice to be closer to family, especially now during this pandemic and,
Nothing's you know, just, on.
Yeah. And nothing's open. I mean, US soccer, they're starting to travel. So I'm definitely the men's beach. They're about to head to Costa Rica for the qualifiers, but I won't go, but it would be nice if they do qualify. It's in Russia.
I know.
So that would be nice. Cool to go. Yeah.
Things are just like starting again in some,
for sure.
In some capacity, some type of mental health back.
Yes, exactly. So, anytime you let me know as things progress, I'll come back on for another chat.
Yes. Oh my God. Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much, Jules.
Welcome.
We'll let you know anytime I'm in the area.
Okay. Well, let me know when this is, you know, put together because I want to listen.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. Like once they chop it up and whatnot, I'll send it out.
Okay. And if we have to do it all over again, cause they didn't like the content, let's go.
Let's go round two.
Let's go round two.
All right. I miss you so much.
Okay. Yes. Miss you too. And so proud of everything you're doing. Stay focused. You got it. And you look great out there. I love seeing your Instagram and seeing you move. And that's what I love as an athletic trainer, seeing you move, you know, after all this. Yeah. Still. So that's all heart right there. Left side, strong side.
Left side, strong side. Pass
left
the
side, strong side. That's right. That's right.
All right, Jules.
If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, give us a review, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @GoingOffSides.